Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to meet together, as it were, publicly, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for our citizenship in heaven above, that on this earth, Lord, although we have many things to enjoy, many blessings, and also many trials, yet, Lord, this is but a pilgrimage. We thank you indeed. We look for a better land. And, Lord, we praise you for this hope. But in the meantime, Lord, we long to know you better. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us gathered here tonight probably would each confess, Lord, that our lives would not what we want, are not what we would want them to be, that we would love you better, we would know you better, we would want to know more of your joy. And, Lord, we recognise indeed that these desires are not of the flesh. These desires are of your Holy Spirit, and we praise you for that. And pray even this night, Lord, that you will meet with us afresh. Dwell among us, Lord, glorify yourself. And as we come to you in prayer, Lord, bring to our minds those matters, Lord, that you would have us to pray for. Burden us in prayer, Lord, we pray. We indeed recognise in your word, Lord, where it says, when two or three are burdened for those similar matters, Lord, then you are indeed very moved by that. And we just pray, Lord, that this evening there will be a consensus in prayer among us, as we bring matters of praise and thanksgiving as well as prayer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're starting this series on Philippians, and I felt we ought to start by reading it through. But I want to do it with a little bit of feeling of what it was like. In other words, I want you to imagine what it was like to be that church in Philippi. You haven't got a New Testament in front of you, so don't start, please, trying to follow in your Bibles, because you don't have a Bible in front of you. Just try listening, because there's just one copy of this letter. Now, by way of introduction, I want to make several assumptions. Now, over the coming weeks, Pete and others may take those assumptions apart, but I just want to, I'm not getting into a study tonight, to just give one or two assumptions by way of introduction. And try and imagine you're listening to this letter for the very first time. There are well-known passages in it. But what would the Philippians, how would they have reacted in that Roman colony of Philippi the very first time they heard this letter? So that's my intention. It won't be long, but please bear with me in that. And after the hymn, I'm just going to put the main lights out and just leave. I was thinking of having candles. But actually, it should have been oil lamps, shouldn't it, really, they would have had. But we'll just have a couple of lights, and you're just going to be listening, but listening, I pray, with ears that are hungering for hearing what Paul is saying and what the Lord Jesus is saying to you. Well, as I walked in the door tonight, someone shouted out, Epaphroditus, have you brought the letter from Paul? And I have. Well, it's a great joy to be back in Philippi again. Several months ago that I left you with the gift you sent me with to take to Paul, and it was a long journey, well over a month getting to Paul in Rome there, and by the time I got there I was seriously ill, and I'm told I was near to death, but through the Lord's grace and your prayers I'm back with you tonight. Well, it's good to be back in among you in worshipping God in Lydia's house here. It's lovely to see friends that we've known over the years. And when I was in Rome, I was telling Paul just how much he is in our prayers. And I share with him how that often in our prayer meetings, people are in tears as they pray that he may be released from prison, but at least while he's in prison, that he may indeed be a strong witness to the Lord there. I've also got a few personal letters with me, because I know quite a lot of you have family in Rome, and they've asked me to just act as postman for you and pass on those letters to you. For new members of the church here, just remind you that this church was founded through Paul's work in Philippi. And our sister Lydia here was the first member of the church, really. She was wonderfully converted, and then the jailer and his family, lovely to see you all here tonight, was wonderfully converted in that miracle. And then we've got others that have been saved through grace. A dear sister who had the demons part cast out of her is here tonight, and we praise God for that. In a moment, I'm going to read you the letter from Paul. But as I do, I want you to know that Paul is very, very much aware that in the city of Philippi, just as in Rome, being a colony of Rome, Christians, whether you are Jews, as some of you are, or Greeks, are very, very much seen as enemies of the state, because we do not accept emperor worship. And therefore, he knows that many of you are losing your jobs, many of the Jews are being hounded out of the city, and he's very aware of the suffering that is probably going to increase in this city of Philippi over the coming months and years. Jesus said when he left us that he would send his Spirit to teach us all things. We've heard a lot through Luke and Paul of what Jesus taught, and of the miracles he did and what he did with going to Calvary for us. But it wasn't all. And Jesus said when he left there was a lot more he wanted to teach us. And he's given the apostles like Paul that job, very particular job, of bringing us his word in these days. And he's doing that through the apostles. And I can tell you then that this letter was written with much love and affection and tears for you. But also, I was very conscious as Paul was writing this that he was taken up by the Holy Spirit. So really, this letter's coming from Paul. But above all, this letter's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, reigning, conquering King of Kings. Caesar may think he is, the emperor may think he is, but Jesus is. And this letter comes to you, Philippians, here, from him. Now, I haven't got any copies done, so please try and listen to me reading now tonight, because when you get home, you're going to have family saying to you, well, what did Paul say? You're not going to remember everything. But you need to just try and think, well, what did Paul say? Try and think what the key things you want to share with them. What amazing things perhaps hit you tonight as you listen to the letter. Well, it's been so moving seeing one another again. I did wonder at one time whether I'd ever get back to see you. But let's dry our eyes now and open up the parchments. Greetings, says Paul. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel of, for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Look each of you not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have told you, now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women, who have laboured side by side with me in the gospel together with Clemens and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yes, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I think we just have a couple of minutes just to prayerfully think over that and think if we were in the position of going home now, having heard that for the first time, what are the key thoughts we would share with people? I'm not going to ask you to do it tonight because different people will have different thoughts. Let's just spend a couple of minutes doing so. So, Lord Jesus, we take it so much for granted that we have the complete Word of God now. Well, we cannot really imagine what it was like living in those early days of the church and having so little of it and yet receiving time and time again these letters that were inspired by you, Lord Jesus, as you spoke through your people, through the very characters of your apostles. We thank you for this lovely letter of the Philippians. We thank you it really reveals the tender, compassionate, loving heart of your dear servant Paul. And we pray as we go home now that something we've just been reminded of from that precious letter may be an encouragement to us in the days ahead. Now we pray that your grace, mercy and peace may be our portion tonight and in the days ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.